CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, we're here, we're live. It's all happening on a Monday. And officially, September starts in like 2 days' time, which is quite exciting. We like that, don't we?
Ooh.
Yes, yes, don't we? Yes, we like spring. And officially, Spring Day is the 1st of September, so it's just 2 days away. You can get yourself into your summer wardrobe. You can put away all the wintery stuff, because I think we've probably seen the back of it now. And there's a bit of snow in places. I mean, quite a lot of snow in some. So it's an unfortunate thing about August and September is that they sometimes have a surprise in them. In terms of just when you think you've seen the arse end of winter, then it goes, hi, we're still here. Anyway.
It's because that one person packs away their heater.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's when the weather turns.
Right. Because the weather can sense when you've done that. Or you've decided to put all your warm clothes aside. And you're like, yeah, it'll be fine now. We've had some nice days. Then, zap, it comes out of the blue. So lots of pictures on social media over the weekend of people who drove to parts of South Africa where there was snow. Made snowmen and all kinds of things. I felt a little bit jealous, actually.
Yeah, but apparently there were even queues to get into these places.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that there were these exact popular spots. I thought snow was like, just fell anyway.
Well, I mean, I would have been one of them if I didn't have plans already for the weekend. I might have gone just to see it because, you know, even though I've been in the snow in Europe, it's different when it's happening in your own country. You're like, you want to check it out a little bit, see what's going on there. Anyway, Desiree says that September is her favorite month, a month of hope. Okay. All right. Hey, I'm on your side. I mean, like, I don't particularly have any feelings about each month, but I just like the fact that it's a change of season. You can also see, by the way, it's nice and light at 6 o'clock in the morning now, which it certainly wasn't a few days ago.
6:20 the sun rises in Joburg.
Yeah.
Oh. Yep. So Mbulelo is here, and Leanne is here, and I'm here, and we're going to look after you this morning, see what we can talk about with Dr. Hanan a little bit later on. He's always very good to talk to, and just get our mental health checkup done for the morning. I got a couple of really good emails over the weekend. I got one from Ruth, which says, if you're offended, I've got some thicker skin downstairs with the guy from Hannibal or Red Dragon or whatever it is. You know, the cannibal?
Mm-hmm.
So it's meant to be like a joke about your skin's not thick enough. So there's some thicker skin down. So, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was...
Jesus, you guys are fast this morning.
Yeah. I thought it was anatomically speaking, you know, like downstairs.
Oh. You were reading way...
What?
You were reading right past the meaning to another kind of meaning that wasn't even there.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. Triple entendre.
Yeah, triple entendre, yeah. Quadruple entendre.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Elvis just left the building, but Gareth hasn't. Morning to Gareth and the team. Thank you, Errol. I'm not entirely sure what that means. Maybe he's also reading triple and quadruple entendres into things. Don't know. All right. So, are there any exciting plans for Spring Day? Because some people like to make a celebration of it. I'll never forget the 1 year at Cliff Central. We had our sex show. They did the show live in the nude from the roof for Spring Day. You remember?
And I bet you it was still a little bit chilly. It always is.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was freezing. But they went up there and did it anyway. Stupid.
Well, that's brave of them.
You can expect this coming weekend to be a thumper. I mean, Spring Day in South Africa is a full-on thing. Oh, yeah.
Where do they do this, maybe, Brulelo? Why don't I know about this?
Oh, you don't know, hey? You know what? I don't want to be this guy. Maybe it's just a black thing. I don't know. But for black people, Spring Day is a huge event. Like, it's as big as Christmas, where guys are now launching that. It's time.
What happens to
as
people?
One might say, Azish.
Do people...
No. Now the savannas come out and people live. People really live and gather. And
so we drink.
Yeah, let's do the right thing. Yeah. And now shirts are out, swag's out. And now it's on now. It's on until December.
I could do that. I could.
Yeah, that sounds like a good celebration.
Any excuse, I'll do it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I always thought Spring Day was meant to be this day where, didn't we also, we used to, Leanne, we did something for Spring Day every year, didn't we? It's like a show outside or something.
I don't think so. I think we kind of just either, you know, wore something flowery.
Yeah, flowery clothes. Those are my favorite. I keep them in my drawer of dress up stuff. And when I need to look like a tunny from Centurion, then I'll just go to the floral drawer and pull out a blouse.
Go to your Hawaiian rack.
That's where I keep all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Or Gareth, you'd probably look like the Little Britain, the guy who's I'm a lady.
Oh, Florence, my dear. Yeah.
I'm a lady.
My name is Emily Hart, and I'm a lady. I do lady things. I have a parasol. You know what I did do? So I did this on, I think it was Thursday or Friday, and I'm quite proud of myself. I tidied up my whole garage, right? This meant organizing all the tools, because, you know, I've got a whole bunch of like, DIY stuff in there, putting all the nails and screws into little baskets and buckets and containers, and I'm so organized now. Like, it's the best feeling in the world. I've told you before how much this stuff. I don't have any rooms left to tidy up and organize. It's all tiny. No, everything is in its place now. I honestly walk through my house and I'm like, yes, this is perfect.
That's good.
And it's taken me a year and a half, maybe a year and three quarters of lockdown to get to a stage where I can honestly say to you that there isn't. Like, not a bathroom cupboard, not a kitchen cupboard, not a garage shelf, nothing that isn't organized now. I feel like, what is that woman who does the organizing stuff on TV?
Marie Kondo.
That one. I feel like her husband. I'm organized like that.
Let us not forget the biggest scam as well that does happen on September 1st. It happens at every school in South Africa. It's called Civvies Day. They're going to make you pay $5 to wear your own clothes. It's going to happen.
Yes.
It's going to happen. That they will scam you and get you. Yeah. I already own the clothes. Why am I paying for them?
You plan, girls. I remember us girls. We would plan our Spring Day outfit in advance. I mean, we'd go shopping for it under the illusion. Under the illusion that that day would be beautiful and warm.
Yeah.
And we'd freeze the whole day because of what outfit we'd chosen.
Yeah.
I associate the smell of jasmine with freezing my knees and my bum off.
So what's the story? Once you've committed to the outfit, you are in regardless the fact that you're going to have flu next week.
Oh, yeah. No, you need to stick to the outfit.
And then girls would come they'd come to school the week after that sniffing and snorting and coughing. Forgetting that even though they looked really good on Spring Day, like by the 6th or 7th of September, they looked like absolute shit. They've been dragged backwards through a combine harvester, you know? Anyway.
It was a time to show off the fact that you really knew your fashion trends. You had to wear something almost outrageously brand new in fashion.
Well,
wasn't widely accepted yet.
I don't want to talk too much about the weather, but I got a notification the other day that we've got like some level of water restrictions that are going to start applying soon. And this is because, this is because we haven't really had much rain, you know, through the whole of winter. We had like a tiny little, you couldn't even call it rain. It was more like drizzle on Saturday morning. But I think, just judging by, you know, the fact that it's been quite a dry winter, and it always is in Gauteng, I think they're starting to apply some water restrictions. Now, August and September are not the best rainfall months either. It really only starts coming in October. So I'm just wondering if this is something we need to worry about yet. You know, if the dams are empty or if they're not as full as they should be. We haven't had a whole lot of rain lately. I'm wondering if that's something we need to be concerned about, just, you know, thinking forward about what the difficulties of the next few months are going to be. I mean, 2021, you know, let's have some. There's a hurricane in America. Apparently, it's like the biggest one for 180 years or something that's going to make landfall in this week, going to hit Louisiana. And they're worried about it because it wasn't so long ago that Hurricane Katrina kind of ruined the whole of New Orleans, remember? So they're looking at that. We've had huge fires all over North America. It's really like natural disasters seem to be coming thick and fast lately. And I don't know if it's because we're all connected in the world and now we see news from everywhere and it all kind of feels like it's happening on our doorstep. But if we're likely to have any, it might just as well be drought. So I'm just looking at this going, let's hope it doesn't get any worse than this. We need some rain. Mm-hmm. And it would be nice because then obviously things just spring, in inverted commas, into life. As soon as there's a little bit of rain. So it was strange. Saturday morning, I woke up quite early and I went outside and there was an actual like little bit of drizzle. And I thought, is this the snow that they promised me? Because it clearly wasn't snow, you know.
I was in full cleaning mode and had on all three appliances in the kitchen. So there was quite a ruckus. And one of the cats ran inside from outside through the cat door, but she bolted through like a bullet. She even injured herself. And I, with all the noise, I thought, they only do that if there's a stranger standing at the back door. So I'm now panicking a little bit. I grab my panic button and I start doing some investigation.
Yeah. Just during the day or the night?
In the morning, Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Forget about it for half an hour. And it happens again, this time with two cats. They almost killed each other trying to get in through the cat flap.
Jesus.
So I turned off all the machines so that I could hear, and then I realized it was just drizzling.
Oh, wow, okay.
But you'd swear their lives had come to an end, that they'd been shot.
Well, we know how much cats love water.
Yeah.
And love being stuck in the rain. so I had some people around here on Saturday night, Saturday afternoon, really, for a little mini celebration. And it went really well. It was actually so nice. And despite the bad weather and the wind and everything else, made a big fire and did it outside, and it was fine. Like, nobody complained, nobody was miserably cold, people were dressed warmly. So bring it on, whatever, we'll still have our lives even if the weather is shit. So Errol says, my brother says it was so cold on Friday that he couldn't find his penis. Well, I don't know what your brother's situation is in spite of weather. So, you know, there may be a problem that has nothing to do with the weather there, just like I was saying for me. Ruth says...
He might have a crop penis.
Yeah. Ruth says, I've just moved house. I can't wait to get organized. Don't worry. I will make how to organize videos on YouTube. Apparently, these are very popular, hey? If you make videos of how to organize things, people love them. I mean...
It's huge.
That isn't a thing that I've got into, but I have got into the ones of making things, you know, those craft videos, which I love. So now I'm stuck in those.
No, organizing and cleaning videos are huge on YouTube. And on TikTok, it's hashtag clean talk. I mean, if you just want to watch people cleaning stuff, it's readily available.
I mean, there's
and it is motivational when you see someone scrubbing within an inch of their fingernails a shower for 30 seconds. It makes you want to get up and scrub your shower. It's very motivational.
So that's how I started organizing things. I was watching something. It wasn't on TikTok. I think it was just on Instagram. And I saw this woman cleaning something, and then she was organizing stuff into drawers and things. So I actually said to my sister, listen, let's go to one of those shops that sells all those containers and things. And we'll go and
I love those shops.
My favorite thing, right? So I said, let's go. This is on Friday. So we went and, I mean, I spent like 2,000 Rand on this stuff. And that's a lot in a place like that. You get a lot of stuff. You know, like the back of the car is full for like 2,000 Rands worth of stuff. And then I got back here and it didn't look like anything at all. I thought, is this all? This is what I spend my money on? Anyway, it's all organized now and everything's in its place and there's a place for everything. It makes me very happy. So, yes, you can't wait to do it either, Ruth, and you will, and it'll be so much fun. Robin says, much happier. Always renovations going on, and people didn't mind working with tile cutters, hammers, and electric saws on Saturday afternoon and Sundays. That's a bit of a pain.
Big
it's
time.
Like, it's like
Big
I've told, time. I've Big told time. You about the neighbor whose gardener is in love with a leaf blower, right? It's like his favorite thing in the universe. And every day, I kid you not, every day, like, you don't need to blow the leaves away every day, but he does it every day. He loves this thing, and for an hour. So around 2 o'clock, because he's like clockwork, 2 o'clock, the thing goes, and it goes right past here, and then it goes around the other side. And if I was doing a recording or something, you could hear it. I mean, you hear Hardy does and things, and that's fine. You can do nothing about that, right? But with this guy, if anyone has to schedule a recording with me or I have to do an interview at that time, I have to move it because it's a disaster. Neil says the driver's license renewal has been extended. Well, surprise, surprise, because they can't get their act together. So, yeah, it has. And that was so annoying because I actually got an email from somebody who listens to us, and she had some very good, you know, Beth. She gave me some really good advice, and I'll give it to everybody else just now about these driver's licenses. So apparently, she says there are booking companies that will secure an appointment for you on your behalf for a fee of 120 Rand. But if you want to do it yourself, the best thing to do is the slots open at 12 p.m. and 4 p.m. Monday to Friday. So she says last Friday, she finally remembered to be at her laptop at 11:58, loaded the website, managed to book for herself and her husband. She says, once you successfully secure a booking, you'll be told what you need to take with you. So it's an ID, as well as a copy of your ID, photos if you need a temporary license, etc. In addition to this, she says, download the application form and complete it beforehand and take a pen with, just in case, because they usually run out of pens. She says, number three, your appointment time is just a guideline. It is an indication that you will be able to renew your license on that day. Therefore, get to your licensing department as early as possible because you will queue. And if you have no appointment, the queues will be very, very long. So far, this is really helpful stuff, even though she did this, I think, last week. And she said it happened, but she was annoyed because she thought she was going to run out of time, and now she's got a whole lot more time. Take a friend with you, as well as snacks and drinks. This sounds like a whole day trip. Drink as little as possible because you'll be queuing for at least 2 hours, if not more. And you don't want to lose your place in the queues or use their disgusting bathrooms. Tip number five relates to the need of a friend and my use of queues. The process is the same as you did it 5 or so years ago. You finally get to the front and you have your eyes tested, photo taken, etc. And then she says you have to pay. The queue for paying is just as long. So if you don't have a friend, they can queue in the payment queue on your behalf. Now, this is good advice, right? She says,
yeah. It is.
She says, these are my tips, and if someone finds them useful, I will be putting my friend in the queue in the second line tip to use when I accompany my husband to his booking next week. One last thing, if you're over 60, you can go to Bedford View on Wednesdays without a booking. Of course, all the other tips apply here. So there we go, Beth, with some really good advice. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it is good. It's just irritating that we have to go through all of this. And also just that our bathrooms are disgusting. You know, number one, can we not have, like, decent sanitation?
Yeah, that's a great point, Leanne. I feel sorry for our elderly that they actually have to go to Bedford View. That's just, what does that say about us as a society?
The elderly. No shame. Anyway, it's good that someone like Beth is passing on this information because that's like a workaround, you know? You know what you're
great
doing.
Great advice.
Yeah. So some useful info.
I just wanted to go back to that sound you were making that your
the leaf blower
gardener makes.
Not mine.
Oh, yeah, the leaf
next door neighbor, yeah.
So that sound happened in my complex.
Oh, shit.
On the weekend. And it was new neighbor because I've been so fortunate for the last 6 months. I'm on the bottom floor, so I didn't have a neighbor next to me. And I hear crying and screeching.
Oh,
like
God.
A little girl screaming the weekend. But I thought, you know, no, it's the weekend. Maybe they've got family visiting.
Right.
Let's not be the grouch.
Which for you, which Lord, you must have really held back because I'm sure you wanted to complain straight away.
No, I did. I wanted to go and address it, but I thought, listen, we're in society. Let's let this thing roll.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday, I come back from a meeting and I kind of hear drilling and blah, blah. So I knock on the door.
Yeah.
the guy opens and I'm like, hey, are you the new neighbor? And he says, yes. I'm like, who's moving in here? He says, me and my two kids. I think, oh God.
But aren't you, your complex doesn't allow, your complex doesn't allow children.
Below the age of 12. So now I have to address this with this guy. Because you're not allowed kids below the age of 12. He's got two of them.
Oh my God, this is a great way to start. So now
today I have to send an email.
This is great.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, this is my life now, and now I have to address it. And the oak's right next door to me. And he's from India, so there's like a whole like language cultural barrier, I'm sure it's going to come up, and that's going to be a whole thing. And here we go, you know? This is just how I want to start September.
Well, my money is on you getting him evicted.
I'll go that far. I mean, it's in the rules. What do you want?
You are the kind of neighbor, like my nephews would call you some horrible name. They'd say, like, there's an evil man in that house or whatever, because they've got a witch like that who lives across the road from them, and she hates children, and she you know, constantly tells kids to get off her lawn and stop playing in the street and all kinds of shit. And like I said the other day, I like the sound of children around me, so we've got neighbors on both sides with children. And I don't mind it. I really don't. But I know you do. And you won't care about saying, oh, get out of my complex. I'm going to have you evicted. Here are the rules. I've got a homeowner's AGM on Tuesday, but it's going to be by video. So we're going to do it like streaming, you know, and there'll be,
yeah,
which means you could kind of switch it off most of the time and just get on with other stuff. So in some ways, I'm kind of looking forward to, I would normally not attend these things, but I'll go to the one on, what is it? I think it's on, tomorrow night. And then I'll join in on that one and see how it goes. And you can always just, like, leave your thing on and pretend you're there and actually go and do other things, make supper or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's my plan. That's my plan for the week.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Right. Good for you. We all have our problems.
Yeah, I know. Huge problems. So here's one other tip from somebody about the licensing, and if you're going to do your driver's license. And it says, take cash and credit cards, because it depends on what they accept on the day. Yeah, that's a good plan. And then there are some very heavy reverberations on your YouTube channel. I'm sorry, I don't know why, but this system seems to occasionally just echo for no good reason. And we're actually talking to the software developers to try and figure out how to get past that. It's very annoying, but I promise we will try and figure out a way around it. I see a lot of people mentioning the echo. You can pay TV licenses online, but not order a new card online. What a sickening money scam it is. Yeah, it is. I wouldn't pay my TV license if I were you. I know that's against the law, but a waste of money. That's really, I mean, I don't ever watch TV. So as far as I'm concerned, my television is just a monitor for playing things off my laptop or my phone. Really, that's all I use it for. I haven't watched live TV for ages. Tristan says, two drink minimum. Is that for spring day? I'm not sure. And
no, for queuing, I think.
Oh, right.
Okay. Referring to that queuing. Well,
queuing or for spring day, because you might want to do them on the same day. Who knows?
Sure.
Yeah. So basically, Luzan wants to know if you feel good, Mbulelo, about putting a whole family out onto the street. The body corporate and managing agency should have blocked his application unless he misrepresented the ages of his kids. Not your.
Yeah. No, that's none of my business.
No, you don't care, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's none of my business. My business is, we all have rules, is I'm happy for you to have a family. Go and live somewhere where families live.
Yeah.
You know?
Dogozo says the only time...
The problem comes in is where something went wrong during the process, and that needs to be sorted out.
Like, well, why must I care about that? There's no kids in this complex. We all made choices, you know? You chose to have a family. You got to live in a certain place. Why am I getting involved in that?
I just love that there's a complex somewhere in Joburg where they don't allow children. I mean, that's...
No, in Cape Town, it's a thing. I'm so shocked that Joburg people are shocked by this. In Cape Town, in Sea Point, it's a thing where you may not have babies. Like, I eventually started looking for complexes like that, like... Once you have a baby, you have to move out. And that's a real thing.
So you've just paid off your house, and you you're inside a lovely complex and you've looked after your garden for years, and suddenly you get pregnant, and like all your neighbors go, oh, sorry, you have to get out. And you're like, why? I know you didn't read the terms and conditions. You have children, you have to leave. Like, but we love our house. Nope, out on the street for you. Dogoza says, the problem is with the TV license is when you want to buy a new TV. Yeah, but you use someone else's. That's what I did. I just used a friend's. I said, she's buying the TV. I just came to help her choose it. There are ways around this thing. No, really, you don't need to worry about that shit. Honestly. Do you care about the SABC getting money? It's a bottomless pit. When last did you watch a show on SABC and think, yeah, this is worth my money? When last did you listen to a radio program on the SABC and go, this is worth my money? Tell me. I'd love to know.
I won't do it.
It's totally a waste, right?
Yes. Yes, it's completely, it's not it. It ain't it, Chief. No.
Even sporting events, I don't know what it's like now, but in the past, they were unable to air certain sporting events, right? Is it still like that?
Well, they don't.
Cricket, they try to do the whole thing where it's only on radio if it's in your local area, blah, blah. It didn't really work out in South Africa because it was against the constitution, actually, in the end. So they had to air the cricket. But even then, the good cricket commentators have left radio because, you know, Robin Jackman, unfortunately, has aged. And it's just now, I don't know what the new guys are doing because I don't know. There was a whole lost generation of the art of, like, commentary, you know? So... No. There's nothing on radio in South Africa left. Sorry.
Apparently, just to go back to your subject of kids running around in complexes. So Ruth says there are two complexes or flats that do not allow children, only in the whole of Pretoria. How's that?
Amazing.
There is a thing. Okay. Got a couple of things to get to this morning. Let me just quickly give you a preview of what's going to be happening today, because people have got to know, right, Leanne? Like Richard Nixon said, right? By the way, poor old Joe Biden having a really shit week because this Afghanistan thing is blowing up badly, and he comes out of it looking really, really bad. Not surprising, because he has handled it like a moron. But there are lots and lots of people who are saying, this could be the end of Joe Biden on his popularity streak. Apparently, his approval ratings are dropping way below 50% now. And he hasn't had to deal with that for the first, 8 months of his presidency, even though he was barely conscious for most of them. So a few things we've got to get to. We've got Dr. Hanan joining us in a short while. He's going to be dealing with a letter that we got from Anonymous. And Anonymous has some really, really hardcore questions for Dr. Hanan. Then we've got Collectomania later on. And I love Collectomania. It's where we check in with people and their collections. And we're going to speak to a guy who's been collecting plastic monkeys. I kid you not. Plastic monkeys.
Okay.
He has over 5,800 figurines that go back to the 1940s of plastic monkeys. So you want to know about that one? Yeah, don't miss that. That's coming
up. I'm open to it.
You should be. And we'll also talk to someone called Travis Brown a little bit later on. It's a pre-recorded interview I did with him because he lives in the US. And we'll talk about the new religion of wokeism and how, this whole political movement, which we see especially in places like the West Coast of the United States, how it's actually like a religion and how there are high priests and there are doctrines and there are dogmas. And you don't want to miss out on that. It's really interesting. Let's just get to a couple of news stories this morning while we're on the topic of news. And the first one of these has to do with KZN's premier, Sihle Zikalala, right? And he, this guy who has been making rules for people in KwaZulu-Natal, right? He is thrilled with the 18 to 34 group's vaccination response. He says, there is huge enthusiasm for getting vaccinated by the 18 to 34-year-olds, and they were allowed to vaccinate from the 20th of August. Their date was moved forward from September the 1st, and they've since taken their excitement to social media, some sharing pictures and videos of themselves getting vaccinated. Speaking during a media briefing on Sunday afternoon, he said that they were encouraged by the positive response. He said, "We share the sentiments that have been expressed by academics elsewhere, that the vaccination of over 18s is good for us in a number of ways." He added that one of the bonuses of vaccinating this group was that all adults with comorbidities were now eligible for vaccination. So, lots of excitement in KwaZulu-Natal for vaccinations, according to Sitle Zikalala.
No, because Oaks want a jaw.
Oaks want a jaw.
18-year-old, I want to get out there. Hey, Stacy. Hey, Melissa, we need to make out. And Oaks understand that the only way that's going to happen, got to get the jab. People respond to incentives.
Well, speaking of responding, apparently India managed to vaccinate 10 million people in just one day. Can you imagine? You go in, like, boom, 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 and you're out. So this is only could happen in India. It's a record breaker, apparently. They have bolstered their defenses for a predicted new surge. Of course, they were the... I think they were the source of the Delta variant, right? So the health ministry said in that the 10 million landmark was passed on Friday, beating the country's previous daily record of 9.2 million. The government has been stung by criticism after a brutal coronavirus wave in April and May that killed more than 200,000 people in India. Prime Minister Narendra Modi hailed the milestone as a momentous feat for the nation of 1.3 billion people. So lots of vaccination news so far today. Let's look at some other stuff because there are other headlines too. October school holidays will not be scrapped despite the loss of more than a half of the learning time last year. Angie Mucheja says we're not scrapping school holidays. You're still going to get an October school holiday. So kids everywhere rejoicing. Parents everywhere going, oh. Yeah. Ramaphosa is going to update Parliament on our recovery plan, so I bet you can't wait for that. That's right, the President is going to go along to Parliament and make a little report back to them. He's going to implement South Africa's Economic Reconstruction and Recovery Plan this Friday. He's first got to tell Parliament what he plans to do. So I think if anyone wants to watch that on my behalf, then they can tell me about the highlights afterwards, because I doubt very much I'll watch that one. Anyway, so let's see what happens. He's also not looking very popular at the moment. People are just gutful generally. So I think, you know, if you are Cyril, you've got quite a lot to wade through to get people to pay attention to you again. Robin Badger says, "I live in Cape St. Francis, and yesterday my bank card wasn't working at the local store. A customer lent me 120 Rand to pay my bill. Shout out to Lance Cabot, St. Francis Brewery." Well, nice for you.
Ooh.
I mean, you got great neighbors. Very cool. That's a good community. Someone lends you money to pay your bills because your card isn't working. Huh.
And that's the place to live. Good for you, Robin. I don't know. You ever been down there, Gareth?
I have.
I have.
It's beautiful.
Hey, I mean, you want to live in that marina and live that kind of life. So shout out to Robin.
Yeah,
living her best life.
Tristan says, "SABC and other TV and radio stations are so crap. I prefer to log on to this show." Thanks. So in the land of the blind, the one-eyed is king. As it's the best that there is, always will be. Thanks, guys. Okay, well, very nice of you, Tristan. Thank you. Very, very good. Okay, lots of talk about Cristiano Ronaldo, too, which we have to address a little bit later on, Bulelo. I saw so much of that over the week. I think it actually happened, Friday? The transfer.
Just after our show, after we'd proclaimed he's going to complete the other team. Whole thing.
Well, we'll talk about that just now. But first things first, let's get to Dr. Hanan Bushkin this morning. We've had him on a couple of weeks now, and it seems to be going really well. People are sending us all kinds of serious personal mental health issues which they'd like to deal with. And Dr. Hanan is on board to help us solve these problems. Hey, Dr. Hanan, how's it?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Good to see you. I got this.
Nice to see you.
I got this email from somebody, and I sent it along to you to just have a look at, so you knew what we'd be talking about this morning. But he says, or she says, I'm not even sure, "Please ask Dr. Hanan to talk about toxic parents. Last year, I decided to cut my mother off because of how controlling and mean she is. When I was young, I did everything by the book to make her happy. Last year, she found out that I support my grandmother's sister financially. This upset her a lot. Even though she owns her own business, She wastes her money on things she can't afford. Last year, I was going through a really tough time. I had legal problems. I got mugged. My house was broken into twice. My mother called to say that it's no surprise, and all the bad things that were happening to me were as a result of her tears shed when she found out that I'm supporting my great aunt. I didn't know how anyone could harbor so much resentment for so long. She also said that worse things are still going to happen to me if I don't change and let her benefit from raising me and paying for my education. She will curse me. If she dies after having cursed me, the curse will stay with me forever and maybe even spill over to my children. Jesus, this is bad. I mean, this is an awful, awful person.
What?
Where do you start with people who are like this? I mean, I just can't believe that a parent would be such a malevolent influence on their children's lives.
Yeah, listen, parents are, I mean, they're given the title, but we're all human beings at the end of the day. And being a parent is one of the hardest jobs on planet Earth, just because there's no service manual. There's no manual on how to do it. There's no troubleshoot at the back of this manual. So if your child acts in a particular way at whatever age, we just don't have a book to go to on how to handle it and how to manage it.
Yeah.
So parenting is very difficult. But what I advise people, you know, when we engage with others, give my patients a couple of rule sets when you engage with others. And there are 10 in total, but I won't bore you with all 10, but I'll give you the top three, mm-hmm. which is, one, history does not mean value. So when you invest in people, don't take history into account. Just because something was valuable to you then, it doesn't mean that it's valuable to you now. So if I'm selling, I don't know, this business for R1 billion, and you say to me, why? And I say to you, well, because 20 years ago it was worth R1 billion and now it's worth nothing.
Yeah.
Well, how much are you going to pay for it? Well, you're not going to value it on what it did then. You're going to value it on what it did now. And unfortunately, when I see relationships, people go, but she's been my best friend since grade 3. And my answer to them is, well, no one cares, really. It's what's the value right now that you should be judging. And the second rule or principle that I share with people is, whilst history doesn't mean value, future potential does mean value. So if something is valuable to you, perhaps in the future, not necessarily now, and gym is a good example. Mm. I'm prepared to invest into working out now, not because it has value for me now, but it has future potential value. But yeah. The third principle linking to our story is title does not mean value. And it's a very difficult thing to even say, but just because someone has given a certain title, and people do this everywhere. Well, he is my boss, therefore I need to invest in that. Or he is my rabbi, or he is my pope, or he's my whatever.
Yeah.
And people give value to title as opposed to the value that the person offers in this moment to you.
Right.
So when it comes to parents, you've got to ask yourself, yes, listen, I'm all big on respect, of course, but ask yourself, is there value and should I be investing in that? And if it takes away value from you, then maybe question the relationship and start negotiating it.
All right. Now, what you've just said is terrific information, and that helps with any kind of relationship, any meaningful interaction you have with other people. But in this particular case, what do you think's going on here? I mean, what's this mother's problem? She's clinging to her daughter. I mean, this is a really...
I'd love to have the mother on the show. You should just call her in. Well, let's have a conversation.
I somehow suspect she's not going to be first in line to get on the show. You know, people hate being corrected and they hate being told when they're wrong. And it seems to me this is abusive. Like, I'm going to curse you. You've got all these bad things coming at you. Guilt, guilt, guilt. This is horrible.
No, this is horrible. This is horrible. And, you know, parents have a responsibility to their kids. And again, there's no service manual. But if I can offer one analogy that would help all parents. Mm. Imagine you're sitting at the back of a plane and you overhear, you're going through turbulence, and you overhear the pilots in the front bickering, fighting, arguing, not having any direction, maybe even cursing each other. How are you going to feel? Well, we're obviously going to freak out because we want somebody to lead us. We want somebody that has more knowledge, that has more experience, that has more maturity to lead us. And what happens with families is that parents don't realize that you are the captain of your kid's flight. And if you don't lead them, they're naturally going to feel anxious. And what happens when we are leaderless, then somebody has to come to the fore. But usually the person that comes to the fore is the child that has no experience on flying a plane. And then what happens? Well, obviously the system just collapses. So to answer your question is, obviously this mother is not leading effectively. Yeah. I don't know the ins and outs. I'd love to meet the mother. But obviously, this is ineffectual and inappropriate to be able to instill guilt in your child. But to the anonymous emailer, I would say, well, you got one or two things. Converse and set boundaries and let your mother know exactly what's appropriate, what's not appropriate.
Yeah.
Or two, if your mother doesn't change, then two, begin the process of disconnecting. Now, disconnecting doesn't mean I'm not going to speak to her anymore. It could just mean I'm changing the quality of our relationship.
Right.
So previously, I would maybe have a conversation with you about my relationships and my life and my friendships and my inspirations and my values and my intentions in life. But actually, since you can't handle this type of relationship, I don't expect you to change because you won't. Therefore, I'm going to give you a little bit less. And we keep on discussing the coin theory. We can update it every time. But the way it works is the more we invest into something, the more we value it. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
The more we invest into something, the more we value it. So if I invest R1 million into a business and it fails, I care a lot. If I invest nothing into a business and it fails, well, I don't care.
Right.
The more you invest into something, the more you value it, the more there's room for disappointment. So if the mother is a failing business, in inverted commas, will just lower your investment because the hurt is going to be, the disappointment is going to be a lot less.
That's excellent advice. But the whole idea of guilt, I mean, there's something about that too. There are people who just carry enormous amounts of guilt around their whole lives. And it sometimes has to do with their parents or their siblings or whatever it might be. And this is not a healthy way to live. But it's hard for people, especially if they're conscientious people, who care about the way others feel and the way they make others feel. This can have a very devastating impact on your own self-belief, your own confidence, because you're overwhelmed sometimes by this guilt. And if it's coming from one source, like Anonymous's mother here, it's just an unfair burden to place on your children.
You know, Kath, guilt is probably the most destructive emotion, but guilt is the most effective emotion, manipulating somebody. So when you can no longer use coercion or tyranny to manipulate someone because you don't have that kind of leverage, well, the next best thing is guilt. And I mentioned this to you before, guilt is a very, very important emotion to have. We are born into this world and society, culture, parents, country regulate us with certain rules. And when we abide by the rules, we feel really good. And when we step out of the rule sets, we feel guilty. And guilt is a very important emotion because it regulates us. It makes us feel within a culture. It makes us behave within a social structure. The problems, and that's very healthy because, as I've mentioned this to you before, people that don't feel guilty, we send them away to psychiatric wards and prisons because they're not welcome within our social structure. But the problem is when the rule set no longer apply to you because of where you're at. So I'll give you an analogy. If I'm 3 years old and the rules that my parents set for me is do not cross the road without holding your parents' hands, without holding our hands. Well, at 3 years old, that's very effective and it's very valuable. It has utility because the moment I think to myself as a three-year-old, I want to cross the road by myself, guilt should initiate, guilt should start up to make me go, no, I can't do that. I need to hold my parents' hands.
Right.
But at 42 years old, having the same rule set is no longer valuable. There's no utility to looking for my parents when I'm 42, looking for them to cross the road. The problem, again, is not the guilt that was initiated when I was three because that was very effective. The problem is I stuck to the same rule set at 30 years later when the environment and the phases changed. So you want to always ask yourself, does that emotion, does the guilt, and for that matter, any emotion, does it have any utility? Does it serve a purpose? And if the answer is yes, that's wonderful. Continue acting within those emotions' boundaries.
Okay.
But if that emotion has no utility, you've got to act in complete opposite as though that emotion does not exist. So let's go back to the guilt story. So if I'm 42 years old and I want to cross the road by myself, now the rule set is don't cross the road unless your parents are there. And I know that emotion has no utility. I'm going to act as though the guilt wasn't there and I'm going to cross the road.
Right.
Now, something interesting happens when you break the rules in your own head. When you break the rules, so now cross the road, the guilt doesn't stay the same. It becomes worse. It gets worse. The intensity goes up. So now I feel even worse. But as I keep on doing it 5, 10, 15, 30, 50 times, now your brain adjusts the rule sets because it realizes that behavior is completely functional and the guilt falls away. So the problem with confronting your guilt is it does get worse, but keep on doing it and then it gets better and it dies.
So, yeah. So in other words, for those people who are slightly sociopathic, just keep on doing those things and then the guilt won't be there anymore. that's good advice. Well, I mean, that's helpful stuff.
Well, again, ask yourself, what's the utility?
Yeah.
Does it have any value? If it's got no value and you're going to be sent away to prison, well, of course you can't do that because, well, I mean, unless that's where you want to be. But if you that's not where you want to be, certainly just confront that.
Yeah. I just think that there are a lot of people who they never learn to get over the guilt that other people put onto them. And, you know, you see these people who are still feeling guilty 10 years after their parents have died about something they said to their mom at age 7. You're like, this is not good. This is not healthy.
Yeah, but the same principle applies. The more you invest into something, the more you value it, the bigger it becomes. Yeah. Remember, just because something doesn't make sense, it doesn't mean that it has to take up space. Just because something doesn't make sense, it doesn't mean that it has to take up space. So there's many things in the world that don't make sense. But the more we invest in it, the more it takes up rental space in our brain. So the trick is to invest into things that create value, not things that don't make sense, that have no value for you.
Who believes in curses, Annette says? This is ridiculous. That's as reliable as star signs. Dave, some people do, huh? Especially if it comes from someone who loves you, supposedly. Or, I mean, clearly, if someone's cursing you, they don't love you. But there's also this emotional manipulation, which I think a lot of people deal with in relationships all the time. And it comes with curses and blessings, you know. And some people feel like they can't make it through the day unless they have that other person's approval.
It's awful. It's absolutely awful, especially when you have the power, as I said, in the title of a parent. You can bless and you can curse and you can use that in a way to get the child to behave in line with what you want them to do. But it's incredibly abusive when you use such words such as, well, you're going to be cursed. I mean, because how do you clean that off you?
What a horrible thing to say to your own daughter. I'll curse you. And if I die before the curse has started its work, it'll be there forever. That's what the mother says. I mean, this is dreadful.
It's awful. Like, wait till I die. Watch how much guilt you'll have. Watch how much regret you'll have. You know, you hear that a lot from parents. Certainly it's inappropriate. It's unacceptable because what are your kids meant to do with that information? Yeah. It's awful.
Yeah. I mean, Tracy says it's not really about whether you believe curses or not, but that a maternal figure would actually have ill wishes towards you is just terrible.
Yeah, for sure. It destroys the relationship for sure.
Yeah, I'm just.
And so, Dr. Hanan, for me, the question then becomes, you know, if I think back to school, the millions of years when I was in there, is that they told you, they used to tell us not to put ourselves first. I hate to be this guy, but it's because of religious teaching, right? And I'm not big on that whole thing, but I'm not going to ask you to go to that world. Is how, at what age is it appropriate to now teach kids that it's okay to put yourself first without them becoming, you know, the Emperor Nero? It's like, it's okay to hurt people's feelings. It's okay for people to be upset around you. Like, I don't know when to tell kids that. Like, it's hard to tell a 13-year-old that it's okay to hurt someone's feelings. That's fine. It's okay if they're upset. It's okay, because really what you want is for Anonymous to say, it's okay to hurt your mom's feelings at this stage. It's like, it's not okay what's happening, or I don't know if I'm wrong, but children need to know it's okay to hurt people's feelings.
Yeah. Well, the truth is you're going to hurt people because we live in a social world where we're going to interact. And especially now that the world has opened up through the internet and social media, our interaction becomes very complicated. So it's never mind it's okay to hurt. You are going to hurt other people. That's the nature of the beast, you know. The moment you come on air and you say really anything, you say, oh, my God, I love water, you're going to be somebody that says, well, you're killing, I don't know, you know, plastic. How can you love plastic?
Yeah.
So somebody's, you know, you're going to hurt somebody just by merely existing. So never mind it's okay to hurt someone. You are going to hurt other people's feelings, but you got to stay true to your own vision. Because the moment, again, the moment you're swimming or you're running your race and you're always checking up on how is this one doing and how am I doing in comparison to someone else, that is when you're going to feel never good enough.
Yeah, well, you can't. Yeah, and you can't live like that. I mean, there's also this very fine line, and we don't have to get into this morning because we won't have time for it. But the idea that some people are good and some people are evil is just ridiculous. I mean, you know, it's good in certain circumstances to not care what other people think, but it's also, if taken to extreme, it is the definition of evil to not give a damn about anyone else. I mean, then you really are just living the most selfish life possible. But if you don't have a little bit of selfishness, and you don't make a bit of time for yourself and take a little bit of your own life to make for you, that's not noble.
Yeah.
That's not noble. That's not smart, because you'll spend the whole of your life in service to others and you'll have a meaningless life. I mean, there's value in doing things for other people, obviously. But if you are miserable deep down inside and you feel like you're just, you know, a slave to everybody else, that's no good.
You know what, guys, the thing is, and what I want to kind of instill, and maybe today's greatest lesson, at least for me, to instill, is the difference between adults and children is children see things as absolutes. They're binary. You always love me. You never say yeah. thank you. Yeah, yeah. You are always this. You're always that. Adults see this, see things in a much more complex way. I can love you, and I can sometimes... And sometimes maybe I don't like you, and that's okay. Well, I can look after myself and I can look after you at the same time. I can walk and chew gum at the same time. I can be good in certain circumstances and awful in others. There's this complexity to human nature that I have to accept. You know, if you had to write a personality test, a million question personality test, and it would spit out a result and it would tell you, you're this mature, you're this intelligent, you are this introverted, you are this extroverted. It would plot you on a graph. Mm-hmm. But in reality, that could not be further from the truth. In reality, we're different in different environments. In some environments, I'm mature. In other environments, I'm immature. Some environments, I'm introverted. Right. Other environments, extroverted. Some environments are very smart, others not. Some very deep and some very shallow. And who am I? Well, that and the million things in between. And to turn to a human being and say, just be yourself, is like turning to a chameleon and say, just be green. And by turning to a chameleon and telling it to just be green, you're taking the essence away from a chameleon. We as human beings, and somebody had to say to me, Khana, just be yourself. My answer back is, what are you talking about?
Which version?
What are you talking about? Exactly. Mm. Exactly. And I'm, as a mature adult, I'm giving myself permission to be that, and hundreds of things in between, depending on the environment, because I can mold myself to the environment.
Right. And you just cannot be consistently the same person that you were at X point in time, because you're also changing depending on, you know, new inputs, new environments, new relationships, new priorities. I mean, you know that because you can change those things on a daily basis for yourself. So let's all be a little bit sensible about this. Anyway, Dr. Khanan,
for sure. And give yourself permission to be different in different environments.
There we go. And it's not schizophrenic or multiple 100%. Personality disorder. It's just all the different versions of you hanging out in the same room. And sometimes one of them
Absolutely.
Is louder than the other. Anyway, thank you very much. It's always good to check in with you. And thank you for helping Anonymous, hopefully, to solve some of her problems. It sounds like a terrible situation she's going through over there. And we will see you, Dr. Khanan, in a week's time.
See you next week. Awesome. Cheers, guys. Nice to see you.
There's Dr. Khanan. It is 7 o'clock on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.